The Tom Woods Show, episode 894.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, join Bob Murphy and me for the libertarian event of the year, the Contra Cruise. And this year, we're joined by special guests, including the great Scott Horton, the foreign policy expert you love from The Tom Woods Show. It's filling up faster than ever, so book right now at ContraCruise.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Some time ago, it was during the presidential campaign, I hosted a debate featuring the two gentlemen who are joining us today right here on the program on the subject of Donald Trump, because Walter Block, who is one of my guests today, had started an organization called Libertarians for Trump. And he said that during the primary season, libertarians should support Trump as a Republican. And then later, Walter said, you should support Gary Johnson in a state where it's clear which way the outcome is going to go, but you should vote for Trump in a state where the outcome is unclear. And he did this by and large because of foreign policy, but Walter can explain himself for you. Anyway, so we talked about this because my other guest, Robert Wenzel, was not convinced of Walter's position or his reasoning. So we hashed it out here on the show. Well, now we are nearing the conclusion of the first 100 days of the Trump administration. So I thought it was an opportune moment to bring these two gentlemen back and hash it out and see if anything's changed in light of what has actually happened under a President Donald Trump. So let me tell you something about these two guys. Walter Block, many listeners of the show already know because he's a very, very prolific scholar in the libertarian tradition. He's written many books, most notoriously Defending the Undefendable, and he's the author of over 500 peer-reviewed scholarly articles, which has got to be some kind of a record. He holds the Harold E. Worth Eminent Scholar Chair in Economics at Loyola University, New Orleans. He's also a senior fellow of the Mises Institute. Bob Wenzel is a financial analyst who also operates the two, I think, indispensable websites, TargetLiberty.com and EconomicPolicyJournal.com. I recommend visits multiple times per day. I don't use RSS feeds. I think that takes some of the fun out of it. I like to just go to the site and look at it. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You know, I always think to myself when I have more than one person on, I shouldn't do the welcome because everybody's talking at the same time, but I appreciate your greeting and glad to have both of you. I've just got done introducing people to you guys if they didn't know of you before, and I've mentioned, of course, that we talked about this subject before the election, so now I thought we have a little something to talk about because now there is a President Trump and there are things that have been done, and I thought in light of that, why don't we revisit that conversation?
Yeah, great. Tom, there's one thing I want to do, and I want to stop you here to sort of get you as the moderator on my side. And what I want to do is I want to tell the audience, I'm sure there's most of them, you know, subscribe to your email. But if they don't, they should. Because I'm a busy guy. I don't read half the emails that are sent to me. But you are the most magnificent. I consider them promo pieces, but they're just great. I look forward to them. They're always insightful, exciting. There's a guy, I'm going to make this real short. There's a guy I know who charges something like $50,000 as a down payment as a professional promo writer, and he will, for $50,000, put your name on a list to think about your project in 3 months from now. And he writes great promo stuff. But I think, wow, Tom does this every day. I have no idea how he does it. So if you're not on the email list, get on the email list because I don't have time to read stuff and I read Tom's emails.
Well, I hereby declare Bob the winner. Look, we're all winners here. But that was very kind of you to say, if you're not on my list, you can get a free ebook while you get on at tomsfreebooks.com. All right. What I thought we would do is, as I say, each of you just say a little something about the situation now. I do think poor Walter, maybe I shouldn't say poor Walter, I don't know, Walter can defend himself, but there are people who have been taunting him. I just saw somebody the other day say, well, Walter, here's the guy you all told us to quit the Libertarian Party over. And Walter said, wait, hold, what? I never said, I said that I would rather have Johnson win than either one. So maybe Walter could remind us of what his position was, say a little something about what's going on now. So let's start with Walter, because I feel like Walter's kind of a little bit more on the hot seat under the, given the way he stuck his neck out here. So Walter, take a couple of minutes, tell us what you're thinking.
Well, first I have to viciously attack Bob, because Bob tried to get you on his side. So the way I'm going to viciously attack him is by outing him, namely mentioning what he said right before we started the official show. And what he said is, well, the way it started, Tom, is you said, please turn off the camera so that we can have better communication. So I turned off the camera and Bob said, no, 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 don't turn off the camera. I want to see Walter sweat. And then I said, well, Bob, you don't have to see me sweat. You can listen to the drops dropping on my desk. So that's my way of outing him. Okay, now let me say some good things about Donald Trump and then some very, very bad things. Donald Trump did some good things. He got Neil Gorsuch nominated for the Supreme Court, which I think was good. He ended the federal grants, the UN Population Fund. He got rid of some environmental regulations. He got the government to stop Obama's policy of transgendering bathroom use, namely men can go into women's rooms. He canceled the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. He approved of the Keystone Pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline. He also said that for every new regulation, he would repeal two. I don't know if he followed through, but at least he said that. Of course, just because he says something doesn't mean he's going to do it, as I'll get to when I criticize him. He mused about Berkeley University when Milo Yiannopoulos wasn't allowed to speak there. And he said, quote, maybe we should reduce the amount of money we send to that university, which I thought was magnificent. He also reduced funds for the National Public Radio, for the arts, for the EPA. He reduced the hiring for every part of the government except the military, unfortunately. It would have been better if he'd done both. And he got a good person for the education department. So I think he's done some good things. On the other hand, and this is very, very bad, he went back. I mean, the main reason that I supported him vis-a-vis Hillary, not vis-a-vis the Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, was because he was less warlike, less warmongering than Hillary. Hillary called Putin a Hitler, and in case your audience doesn't know this, Tom, Hitler is not good. He said, we made a mistake in getting rid of Gaddafi in Libya, getting rid of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and not on my watch are we going to go into Syria. And I thought that was, pretty good. And I think that foreign policy is more important than personal liberties and economic policy. And then what does he do? He starts bombing Syria's airfields based on gas being released. And that's crazy. I mean, there's no evidence that he did that. There's no reason for him to do that. Assad is winning the war. And he, with his conventional weaponry, you have to ask cui bono, who benefits from this. And Assad doesn't benefit from this. Just because the New York Times 1 minute later said it was his fault is ridiculous. So Donald Trump was always a little bit of a loose cannon. And here, he's not a loose cannon. He's a cannon floating in the air, dropping God knows where. And then the business with dropping this big bomb in Afghanistan and now messing with North Korea. The guy is, we in economics, we have this expression, ex post and ex ante. Ex post, I'm horrified by him. Ex ante, I still think he'd be better than Hillary. And if truth came to tell, even ex post, I think Hillary would be worse, although it's hard to argue non-existent history. We don't know what Hillary would have been doing, but Donald isn't doing too well. So Tom and Bob, if you want to listen to the sweat flowing off my brow and hitting my my desk, there's plenty of it. Well, not literally, but I'm appalled. And not only am I appalled, but I'm contemplating having a Let's Impeach Donald organization, and I'm sure Bob would join me on that. But the only problem with that is that if we impeach him, and I also suggest that we make common cause with my old buddy Bernie, because, you know, Bernie would be happy to see Donald impeached. The problem is we get Pence. And I don't know, would Pence be worse? On the other hand, you know, we sort of have, we libertarians just want to impeach every president except Ron Paul or someone like that. But so I'm sort of up in the air. I'm just contemplating making common cause with Bernie over impeaching Donald. But so far have I come from libertarians for Trump and scholars for Trump that I'm now considering starting a new group, Libertarians for Impeaching Trump, and trying to get Bernie on board. So with that, I'll let Bob jump all over me now.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Walter, first I have to say I'm glad you're considering moving from Libertarians for Trump to Libertarians to Impeach Trump, because I think that's a move in the right direction. I actually won't join that because I don't join these kind of things, because I think most influence is done at a much higher level, and it's good for tactical reasons for some people and all that. But and also joining with Bernie could be tactically good, but I see myself as a higher level guy, in the sense that I don't want to spend my time influencing government policy. I want to spend my time attacking all government policy, that we shouldn't have government leaders, and that the problem is not putting the right guy in charge of rules, but eliminating the government rules. So I want to focus in pound on that. And that's the reason I wouldn't do it. But as Walter, as far as Trump is concerned, I think you're absolutely right. I've got to remind you, I've got a whole list here, but I'm going to cut it short and just point out that in our April debate, you said that Trump was going to be, quote, a big boon to libertarianism. And then you went on to say Libertarians for Trump is going to get a lot of positive publicity. And, you know, we can let the listeners decide whether that's happened or not. But the key here is, I think we have to pay attention to politicians and realize they're dangerous, they lie. And in Trump's case, he was very, very slippery. I think in a way, Walter, you as a Brooklyn guy got schnookered by a Queens guy, because he never said he wanted to end NATO. He said that he wanted the partners to pay more, and it was obsolete, but he didn't mean it was obsolete because he wanted to end it, but he thought that it should be focused more on fighting terrorism. And the same thing with regard to the Middle East. He never said that he wasn't going to intervene in the Middle East. He said he was not going to do it, quote unquote, for nation building, but he was going to fight ISIS. So I kind of expected what we're seeing here out of his foreign policy. And if anything, it's more horrific. I mean, he's deploying troops, and now he doesn't disclose when he deploys troops, but he's deploying more troops to Syria, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to Somalia. He hasn't even seemed to, even think about asking permission from Congress at all. At least the other presidents made some kind of statement about something or other with regard to Congress. He just goes and does it. He's taunting Kim Jong-un, which could be extremely dangerous, especially for the South Koreans on the peninsula. Who knows how that's going to end up? I mean, he's terrible. Touching on Hillary just for a minute, we have to realize that her campaign manager had a secret account with a Russian. And this isn't a made-up thing. I mean, we have real documents. He actually moved it into his daughter's name when he became campaign manager. And then we know Hillary cut a deal with Russian oligarchs to supply them with a major part of a United States uranium company. So they were more criminal and crony, but in a good way. They may talk tough with Russia, but they're cutting secret deals behind. So I don't see them as dangerous as Trump is. And I've written a number of times that I always expected a break between Putin and Trump, because if you just look, Trump's advisors, which are all generals, which is dangerous, were all anti-Iran and anti-Syria. And these countries are right in Russia's backyard. So at some point, there had to be a break. It's coming earlier than I expected, but there would have to be a break. Either Trump is going to go with Russia, which really didn't make any sense, given the generals he has, or he's going to have to go with fighting Syria and Iran, which is the direction he's going in. So I just see him. The only thing I really see him good on is the transgender federal regulations for bathrooms. I don't know if you have a big problem there with Loyola with bearded guys going into female bathrooms, but that's probably solved. But outside of that, even his environmental regulation stuff, he's not going free market. He's just going in favor of the crony corporations where they can probably pollute more. And Walter, you more than anybody knows how a free market should be structured there. Keystone Pipeline, he's allowing some eminent domain there. He's just bad just across the board. And here's the real problem. The real problem is, in one of Tom's great emails, he talked about losing some listeners or subscribers because he came out against the cruise missile attack. So what Trump is doing is very similar to what Murray Rothbard pointed out Ronald Reagan did in a great article by Rothbard called Ronald Reagan, An Autopsy. And basically what Rothbard said is he sort of killed the movement towards freedom and anti-war and all that kind of stuff. And I see Trump is doing the same thing. He's basically sucking up all the good that Ron Paul did. And you've got these people who really don't understand all the principles and the basics now. And they think Trump is going to fight all this stuff and, the government's going to win and be powerful and save the world. And we all know that's going to happen. It's horrific stuff he's doing. And we're losing people that if Hillary was in power, she's such a negative person. There would be so many people looking for reasons to attack Hillary that it would have been a beautiful environment for us to supply and educate people about libertarian and libertarian principles. And with Trump, we've lost a lot of people that we can't do that with.
All right. Well, that's a lot to take in. So I'm going to let each of you take like a little bit of time to answer each other after this. And then I want to jump in with some stuff. So, Walter, I know you must have something to say to that.
Yes, I'm wiping the sweat off my brow so that I can see clearly. I think that we have to look at things, one, right now, and two, before the election. And I think that Bob is conflating the two too much. You have to conflate them a little bit, but I think he's conflating them too much. Yes, I agree that Donald Trump is now a disaster, even though I mentioned 8 or 10 things that are positive. And I think that the bathrooms is not the only one. It's the only one that Bob agrees with me. But, how about all this other stuff? The UN Population Fund, Gorsuch. I mean, better Gorsuch than the guy that Obama would have nominated. I forget the guy's name. Anyone remember who Obama was nominating for the Supreme Court?
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I remember. Now, I want to say it, but I'm not sure. I'll interrupt you at some point.
Whoever he was, Gorsuch is better. I mean, Gorsuch isn't great. Gorsuch isn't Andrew Napolitano or Ron Paul or somebody like that, but he's way better. So to say that the only thing that we can be happy about with Donald Trump is bathrooms, I think is too extreme. I'm a moderate. That's why they call me Walter Moderate Block. How about the Trans-Pacific Partnership? The access and the Keystone Pipeline, I agree. Obviously, I'm not in favor of eminent domain, but that wasn't the reason that Obama stopped it. They both agree on eminent domain. See, the problem with the way Bob is looking at this is he's looking at it from a pure libertarian point of view. Now, you might say, well, why shouldn't he? I mean, we're all pure libertarians now. The three of us are certainly pure libertarians. But I think if you look at it from that point of view, you really don't have much to say. All you can say is, well, this guy's no good. That guy's no good. Look, even what's his name? The guy running for the Libertarian Party, Johnson, he's not a pure libertarian either. So I think, if you look at it with those spectacles, then you really can't say anything. Look, Bob mentioned Murray Rothbard, and Murray is the mentor of all three of us. I want to mention a different part of what Murray did. During the Vietnam War, he supported the Peace and Freedom Party. What was the Peace and Freedom Party doing? Trying to get the U.S. out of Vietnam. And what did the Peace and Freedom Party consist of besides 10 libertarians that Murray brought in under his wing? The Trotskyites and the Progressive Labor, which is the Maoist group. So, if Murray would have said, well, look, I'm a pure libertarian, and therefore Mao is no good, and Trotskyites are no good, and therefore I'll have nothing to do with anything, well, then, you know, you can take your purest libertarianism, and in the Ivory Tower, it's very good. And Bob, I think, is too stuck in the Ivory Tower. But if you want to get out there down and dirty, if you want to mix it up, if you want to make converts, if you want to have something to do with the real world, I think it's incumbent upon us to ask, well, you know, one question for Bob. Bob, who did you support between Hillary and Donald? Did you support Hillary over Donald? You know, I had a debate with this guy from Reason Magazine. I get his name also. And he wouldn't even answer that question. So I hope Bob is going to answer that question of who he supports. Now, with regard to, you know, Hillary being better because she's more of a crony capitalist and she would have had contracts with Russia, and therefore all of her calling of Putin a Hitler is silly. Well, you know, that's not a bad point. That's a decent point. But if you're going to just look at what she said rather than look beneath the surface, which I think, you know, Bob is quite right to do, she said he was a Hitler. Calling someone a Hitler is not good. And then this idea that, well, you know, if Hillary had been in, everyone hated Hillary, and therefore we would have had a much better shot at stopping her, whereas everyone loves Donald. Everyone loves Donald? Come on, give me a break. The New York Times doesn't like Donald. The major media doesn't like Donald. Donald has a... The supporters of Donald Trump have a conference or a meeting in the streets and in Berkeley, and people come and try to beat them up. So I can't see my way clear to agreeing with that. Now, it's true that Donald didn't say we're getting out of NATO because, and in other words, his opposition to NATO is exactly as Bob describes it, but it's better than Hillary's. I mean, Hillary was saying, you know, NATO, hooray. At least he was saying, well, you know, NATO isn't so good. Maybe it's time to end it or whatever. And the same thing with all these other countries. Yes, he didn't say, and he did say we're going to always get rid of ISIS. But he was better than Hillary and on Gaddafi and on Assad and on the Iraqi dictator, all these strongmen. So I think Bob is being a little unfair to my man Donald, who I'm now advocating that we impeach him, possibly. And I see nothing wrong with cooperating with Bernie Sanders or those types of people. You know, we'll certainly have more power. And I want to have some influence also. I don't want to just be in the ivory tower, although one of my feet is obviously in the ivory tower along with Bob's. But I have another foot, and I want that one out of the ivory tower and into the real world where we can have some effect. I have children, grandchildren. We all have friends. We want to make lives better for them. To just say the government shouldn't exist, I think is highly problematic. Look, take the minimum wage law. We all agree we shouldn't have the minimum wage. Should we confine ourselves to just ivory towering it and say minimum wage is no good and write articles? Or should we support a group of libertarians getting out on the street and having a march against the minimum wage? Well, I support both. And I the way I read Bob, he doesn't support both. He just supports the ivory tower way of looking at things.
Let me jump in before Bob speaks, just to fill in a couple of the names. Merrick Garland was the Obama nominee for the Supreme Court, and Nick Gillespie is the guy you had the debate with.
Right. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Well, first of all, as far as the charge that I'm a libertarian purist, I recognize good tactical strategies. I think Murray Rothbard, again, did a wonderful job of explaining how strategies should be done and should be used in his memo, What is to be Done, which is part of the David Gordon collection in confidential memos. And basically, he talked about working on different levels, but there were specific ways that you could align with people. And when Murray aligned with people, it was because there was a big issue that whoever he aligned with supported that was a libertarian thing, and he would sort of keep his mouth shut on the other stuff. I don't see any big issue that Trump and libertarianism aligns with. He's just terrible. I mean, environmental regulations, which is questionable whether they're really libertarian even there, is not good. The Keystone Pipeline, he's going eminent domain. There's really, there's not a lot. This, we're talking about a presidential election for the nation. I mean, are we going to really be proud of the fact that, hey, we got Koch brothers oil flowing down because of the Keystone Pipeline, and that this was a success as a presidency or a great accomplishment for libertarianism? Now, as far as TPP is concerned, Trump is going in the wrong direction. He wants more tariffs. He wants more regulation of trade. It's good to be against TPP, but it's the reason you would want to be against TPP is because it's crony capitalism. And you want to get rid of crony capitalism, and you want to open up the markets even more. But to go from crony capitalism to even less trade is worse. I've made the point. If there's a crony capitalist in China that is selling some kind of pill that eliminates heart disease, but there's five others, but they in China that do this, but they're not allowed to export into the United States, well, it's still better if we get one coming across than none. And Trump is going in the other way. He wants to block trade. So him being against TPP is not good. As far as Gorsuch, there's a big discussion about how important Supreme Court justices are. I've heard it across the board for everybody from Bill Kristol to guys at the Hoover Institute state that it's not that important, and it's an overblown item. So, you know, that's Tom, that's a debate for another time. But and as far as DeVos at the Department of Education, she wants vouchers, which is keeping government in the education game, which is really what's destroying this country, because the only education these kids are getting is government-recognized education. It's a terrible thing. So what exactly is this big thing that we should be aligning with Trump for? There's nothing there. I think there's much more reason to align with Bernie Sanders, because he's sort of anti-war, maybe. So yeah, libertarians can go there, support him, work with them, keep our mouths shut on the other crazy stuff he's got going, which is what Murray suggested. But on Trump, we'd have to keep our mouths shut on everything except transgender bathrooms.
All right, now it's my turn to jump in here. I think maybe Walter was not referring to the actual Secretary of Education, but rather this person you reported on, I think, at Target Liberty recently.
Oh, you're bailing him out, Tom. That's okay.
Well, I mean,
I still like your email.
Oh, I'm not trying to be impartial.
No, I get it. I'm teasing.
Okay, good. I mean, just for the sake of clarifying this, because this Candace Jackson person who did go to Mises University and who likes Murray Rothbard is probably the, other than Bill Evers, is the highest ranking person we've ever gotten. She's the Deputy Assistant Secretary in the Office for Civil Rights. I'll take it. So that could have been what Walter meant. All right, let me start with a question for Bob. If it's the case that Trump, from our point of view, has no redeeming qualities whatsoever other than the transgender bathrooms, how do you account for what I'm sure you would concede is the unprecedented level of media and elite hostility to him during the campaign?
Yeah, no, there's no question. I mean, the left does not like Trump. There is absolutely no question about that. That's not a problem. But for libertarians, it's really hard to capture that left. So it doesn't matter as much. The people that see that mainstream opposition to Trump are the people that libertarians could capture if Hillary won. If Hillary won, the people that don't like that mainstream support for Hillary would be looking, this is terrible. We've got to stop this. Congress would be up in arms over everything Hillary was doing. But more than the most important thing would be that the conservatives and the Trump supporters now would be looking, well, what is terrible about Hillary? And libertarians would have the answer. So from a very strategic perspective, Hillary would have been much better positioned for us to sort of get more people to look at libertarianism. Now that's not there, because the people that would be most apt to listen to us, to try and understand what's going on, and we could feed them the non-government stuff, are absorbed in Donald Trump. So we don't have the left, and we're losing the right. It's the Ronald Reagan autopsy all over again.
All right, let me ask Walter something. Now, Walter.
Before you ask me, could I just interrupt?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
And just ask Bob, who did you support if it was just Hillary or Trump before the election? And we're not talking about Gary Johnson. Which of those two did you support?
Well, if you recall what you said at the time during our first debate, you asked me if I had a gun to my head, would I support Trump or actually it's probably the Republican nomination, but it could have worked for Trump and Hillary. And I would have said that there's really not much difference from them as far as policy. I really don't see anything different. But from a strategic perspective, I think it would have been better for libertarians to not support Hillary, but it would have been better to see Hillary win because we would have had a much larger market looking for answers to why Hillary was bad, which we don't have now.
Tom, before you ask me my question, can I respond to...
Go ahead. Why not? This is a sort of infinity. We're all friends here. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, look, if Hillary would have won, she would have pulled up a lot of congressional support, too. So I don't think it's true that Hillary would have faced the Republican Congress. I think she would have faced the Democratic Congress, certainly the Senate, and maybe even the House if she had won big enough. You know, Bob called us supporters of Trump fanboys. Well, I think he's a negative fanboy. I don't mean negative. I mean, he is so against Trump that no matter what you say in favor of him, he's only going to accept bathrooms. I mean, the Supreme Court, I say, well, Gorsuch was better than the other guy. And he starts saying, well, the Supreme Court isn't that important. Well, however important it is, and let's not get into the argument of however important it is. I think it's pretty important. Gorsuch is better, for God's sakes. And he can't even admit that Gorsuch is better than the other guy whose name I keep forgetting. Then let me just take a few other things. He reduced funding for the National Public Radio. The National Public Radio is evil. It's a monstrous sort of a thing. It's just biased. It really sticks in my craw, and I'm sure it sticks in the craw of you guys, too. He reduced it. He reduced money for the EPA. Take the CAFE standards, you know, the mileage that you have to have 55 miles a gallon or some crazy thing like that. That kills people because then the automobile companies make smaller cars, which are more dangerous. Now, that'll save lives. And he's only going to give me the bathrooms? He's given less money for the Bureau of Land Management, less money for the NIH, less money for everything in the government, with the exception of military, where we certainly agree we should have less. So I think that I was never a Trump fanboy in the sense of whatever Trump does is right. Even before Trump violated his principles in Afghanistan and Korea and in Syria, I never was a fanboy in the sense of saying whatever Trump does is right. Never. But Bob is going the other extreme. He's saying whatever Trump does is wrong, with the one single exception of bathrooms. I can't believe that.
Walter, everything you listed, do you think what you listed is enough that libertarians should align with Trump? And when we align with Trump and people ask us, well, why are you supporting Trump? We say, well, he's cutting funds for National Public Radio, while at the same time he's taunting Kim Jong-un. He's sending cruise missiles into Syria. He's sending troops. We don't know how many because he's not even announcing deployments. And we say, well, we're aligned with him because he's cutting National Public Radio funds. And people are going to say, well, what about this other stuff?
Aligned with him?
How is there strategic value in doing that?
I'm not aligning with him. I'm thinking seriously of calling for his impeachment. But what I'm saying is that you won't give credit at all. All you're giving me is bathrooms. I want more out of you, Bob, than
all right. Wait, hold on. Let me jump in here. Okay, Walter, you are demanding a concession from Bob. But let me see if we can get a concession out of you. In light of the experience with Trump, which I have to admit, he's certainly worse than I thought he would be. And I warned that he was not a systematic thinker and that this was going to lead to problems, that he'd be influenced by bad people. He doesn't have a systematic worldview. He's just got some instincts. And, you know, instincts compared to some dying kids on television aren't going to win the day. And so we've had this very disappointing start with foreign policy. All right. Having said that, are you willing to say that maybe some of the more effusive things you said about Trump and the prospects for libertarianism, are you chastened enough by this experience so far that you'll watch it a little bit next time?
Let me just add one thing on the other side of the ledger, and that's the Freedom Caucus, and that's the health plan. When he had that health plan that didn't really change Obamacare at all, the Freedom Caucus said no, and then Trump lashes out at our man Rand Paul. Now, Rand Paul is not Ron Paul, but Rand Paul is probably the most libertarian, well, not probably, he's certainly the most libertarian senator now, and maybe the most libertarian senator we've ever had. So that's another point against them. Well, I don't feel chastened. The reason I don't feel chastened, and the reason I'm not going to be any less enthusiastic in 4 years when a similar sort of a thing occurs, is because of this ex ante and ex post. Yes, ex post, I'm certainly chastened. I mean, look, how much more chastened can I be than to consider starting another group to impeach the guy? I mean, you can't get more chastened than that. But let's go to ex post, or rather ex ante. No, I'm not chastened at all. There's no sweat dripping off my brow ex ante, because if you look at things before he went back on his word, virtually word, Bob is right. He never was a pure libertarian, even on foreign policy, but he was pretty damn good. Look, Bernie Sanders and Chomsky aren't pure libertarians, even on foreign policy, but they're pretty damn good. So, you know, I took that vis-a-vis Hillary, and I said, wow, this is way better. So I'm not chasing at all in that sense. I'm very chasing ex post. Yes, he's very bad. He's risking World War III, for God's sakes.
Let me ask something that might bring all of us together, and that is the subject of Rand Paul. Now, all of us have had criticisms of either of Rand Paul or the way his campaign was run or the people who were in it, like the same darn hangers-on or back. You got to be kidding me that these people were hired. Are you serious? Or the types of issues that were emphasized or how they're emphasized, all that. But I happen to think that since Trump got in, I think Rand has been excellent. I think this is the best we've seen of him. And on foreign policy, he's stood right up and taken the right position on things. There are very few others, if any, who would, especially in the Senate, who would be saying the sorts of things that he's saying. Yeah, some people would say Donald Trump's not free market enough. But Rand has gone well beyond that. And I want to know if you guys feel the same way I do about that.
Yeah, go ahead, Walter.
I'm a big fan of Rand. And Rand post-Trump, and I agree with you, Tom, absolutely. During his Senate campaign, he wasn't as good as he could be. The acorn went too far away from the tree, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Ron Paul is magnificent. Rand Paul is pretty damn good on some things and not so good on other things, yes. And certainly Rand has blossomed in a libertarian manner. And I don't think he could have blossomed any more than if Hillary were there. Rand is attacking Ron. I mean, anyone who... look at his enemies, McCain, John McCain, the crazy Dr. Strangelove, who wants to have war with the Martians, as far as I know. And Rand has stood up to him beautifully, and McCain has viciously attacked him. I just want to mention a little bragging. I was once at this conference where in Reno, I forget who put on the conference, but everyone had to pay like $100 to get in. But if you wanted to have a special seminar just with one person at a time, if you wanted Ron Paul, you had to pay $1,000. If you wanted Rand Paul, you had to pay $500. And if you wanted me, I was the only other person that you could do this with, you had to pay like $50 or $100, a lot less. But still, I was in the same category as Ron and Rand, and I'm very proud of that. And yes, I support Rand. He is really becoming very, very, very good.
Yeah, I would say that I think at Rand's core, he's probably a lot more like his father, Ron, than he generally shows. But Trump is sort of drawing that out of him, because it's just Trump is just so off the wall on so many of these things that it's too much for Rand. And he tells it like it is. I think occasionally he will do so in terms of technicalities and how Congress should deal with things. But for the most part, he's been very impressive as far as that kind of thing. And I just wish he would do more of that. And I wish he would use as a sort of a guide, Ludwig Erhard, who has become, you know, one of my great policy heroes. I mean, the more and more I read about the guy was just amazing. He would just oppose everybody and just stick to free market to the degree he was free market. I would say he was like 90% free market, not completely. But he was in on the assassination attempt of Hitler and somehow survived that when Hitler was killing anybody connected, 5,000 people he killed. And he did the German economic miracle, which is what he's most known for. But the thing was, I mean, he just stuck to his principles all the time. Sometimes he had both sides that hated him, but he just sort of had that personality to do it somehow. And, you know, Rand seems to be starting to develop in that direction. That would be great if he does. And maybe that's the good thing about Trump, that he's sort of drawing that out of Rand.
Hey, I finally got a concession out of the anti-fanboy. Magnificent. I just wanted to add, in addition to Rand getting good, there are two or three members of the Congress who are in the Freedom Caucus, Massey and the guy from Michigan.
Amish.
Who Trump, I'm sorry?
Justin Amish.
Yes, Amash or Amash.
Amash, yeah, maybe it's
Amash. I forget. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but Donald singled him out and said, you know, I'm going to come get you, boy. Well, we're all Amashians now, or Amashians, however you pronounce that. So not only has Trump had good effects on Rand, but he's had really good effects. Well, these other guys were pretty good even before Trump. So, but the fact that, you know, sometimes you look at who the enemies are, and the enemies are, Trump has got some very bad enemies, like Amash, and some very good friends like McCain. And one other thing that we forgot to mention, that's political correctness. My man Donald is magnificent. God bless him on political correctness. Okay, political correctness isn't all that important, but still, it irks me a lot. And Donald is pretty good, and Hillary is the paradigm case of political correctness.
Yeah, I grant you that. Hillary is terrible on political correctness. But this Trump's presidency is sort of like a Shakespearean play, because you have lingering in the background Jared and Ivanka, and they are, you know, I don't think they're deep thinkers, but they're social justice warriors on the surface. And there was apparently some kind of LGBT issue that they influenced Donald on, and he didn't waive some kind of LGBT, whatever the current letters are, regulation. So she's lurking in the background, and she's terrible on political correctness.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to call it quits for today. But I think this was a good discussion. Get this all out there. I want to urge people to check both of these gentlemen out. Of course, Bob Wenzel has two websites, so that's slightly unfair compared to Walter. But targetliberty.com is the one you may know less about, but you should know more about. I want to see, ever since Trump got in, Bob, the problem with your site now is that there's so much Trump stuff to talk about. Where's the libertarian movement gossip that I fell in love with Target Liberty for? I miss that. So I demand more of that. But
okay, I'll see if I can get some dirt on somebody.
Somebody, right. So
Walter,
that's
what are you doing there in New Orleans?
yeah,
I'm going to talk to Michael Edelstein. He'll tell me.
Yeah, right. You can't scrounge around on my show for it. All right, so targetliberty.com, excellent site. I view it multiple times a day, as I do economicpolicyjournal.com. Of course, all this stuff will be linked to at tomwoods.com/894, the show notes page for today. And then Walter, of course, is walterblock.com, where you can actually see, read a lot of his stuff. And Walter, remember, is the author of every article that's ever been written. So it's a lot of it is it's all cataloged, and a lot of it's linked there. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
And if I could give a plug to Walter, I mean, another place to go, just go to Amazon and Google Walter Block, because Walter Block has written some of the most important libertarian books that are out there. And one of my early influences, probably the fourth or fifth book I read on libertarianism, was Defending the Undefendable, which every libertarian should read. So,
thanks, Bob. I take back everything nasty I said about you. And as you know, I didn't say one nasty thing, because I admire both of you very much. And thanks for including me in this three-way conversation.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay. Thank you, guys. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for another week. If you're thinking, I need another episode, well, I don't have a bonus episode for you, but I do want you to know that this week's episode of Contra Krugman, episode 83 of Contra Krugman, which you can find at contrakrugman.com/83, is one of my favorite ones, just because it's funny. We just have good banter back and forth. I don't know if the content is any good, but it was a lot of fun to record that episode. So you can check that out. Tide you over till Monday when there's another episode of this show. See you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.